Hello and welcome to our first podcast. I'm Brendan and this is Guy beside me. Say hello, Guy.
Hello. Hello, Guy.
Our first podcast is going to be about our one-page books that we've published and shared to many people during the last year.
Yeah, we started out writing these one-page books basically because we are reading a lot of books, both Brendan and myself. And sometimes we get to the last page, and let's say it's a 300-page book, and you sort of realize that 299 pages of, anecdotes and various fluff, it could have been condensed, perhaps, down to one page. So instead of letting people read 300-page books that we could write, which I have written before, then we decided, okay, let's just condense it into the succinctness of a one-page book.
Yeah, and how many have we got? We have five at the moment? Six?
Five or six, yeah.
The first one was on...
Organization. And then we went on with mental training, which is called Mental Training the Core. And it's available freely as a downloadable PDF, or it's also available on Amazon as an EPUB book. Yeah.
And these books are written in English.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Now... We can take Mental Training Core as an example of one of these one-page books, really. And it's basically condensed into one page whatever we do to help people perform better, whether they are artists or they are athletes or they are the average Joe off the street or kids that are struggling in life. In any case, these tips that we have in this one-page book is relevant. And we have helped people take gold medal in Olympic and World Championship using these exercises.
Yeah, I have the one-page book up in front of us right now, and I see it's also fun to look back over what we've written. And the first part is about being here and now. So... And it's something that a lot of people say, yeah, it's really important to be here and now, and it's something that a lot of people try to do, to be here and now. What does here and now mean for you?
I've encountered this question a lot of times, and very often mental trainers take this for granted. They say, okay, you have to be here and now, and then we start visualizing, or then we start doing mental training exercises, or all kind of focus exercises or whatnot. But very few mental trainers actually accomplish something with just saying, be here and now. You have to train on it. You have to actually sit down and go through the training of being here and now. And it sounds, you know, it sounds like basic, everybody can be here and now, but most people are not. If you sit down a person on a chair and ask him to close his eyes and then be there without thinking, without emoting, without, counting sheep in his head or counting backwards or some kind of mental trick, people usually cannot be there comfortably without doing something for even 30 seconds.
Yeah, so the average person, how long would the average person be here and now?
Possibly around 10 to 15 seconds.
Yeah, some people say that it's no problem, it's pretty easy, 30 seconds, 1 minute.
Yeah, and then they're actually not doing the drill. They're not actually sitting there and being there. They're doing something in their head, and thoughts pop up, and emotions and pains and whatnot comes in and kills that ability to be here and now.
So how much have you practiced on being here and now?
I have no idea. It must be hundreds and hundreds of hours, maybe 1,000 hours. I haven't counted since around 1984. Been training on this continually.
Okay. And so the opposite of here and now is sort of, instead of here, it's there, and instead of now, it's then. So what actually does there and then mean if we're not here and now? Because physically, we're right here and now.
Well, we can discuss that too, going into quantum mechanics, etc. But
that's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's a different podcast, whether we are actually here now physically. But mentally... it means that when people sit down and close their eyes, usually the thoughts wander off into, you know, what did I have for dinner? When did I have sex last time? Or I shouldn't have kicked the cat. Or maybe it's not even then. The opposite of now is not necessarily then. It could be in the future also. Yeah. It could be like starting to plan.
It could be then in the future.
Then, yeah. It is then. 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 So it could be like, what should I do next week? Oh, I need to not forget this appointment with David, and, you know, this kind of thing. And not being here is meaning maybe you're feeling like you're in a harem in Bahamas, or you're imagining yourself somewhere else, or seeing pictures of somewhere else, or just drifting off, basically. You can start to fall asleep. That will also not be here now.
Yeah, so several people, when they've seen this one-page book, they've said to me, yeah, I've done some form of meditation before. This is what you're writing about.
Yeah, and the meditation is such a large field, and there are so many branches of meditation, and some meditations are strictly not about being here now. It's about getting into a mantra and focusing on something else and visualizing and stuff like that. But certain types of meditation does what this one-page book talks about, sitting there and just being here now. But being here now is not about focusing on your breath or focusing on your taste or focusing on anything. It's just about sitting down and doing nothing. And this ability to do nothing is hardly ever practiced by any methodology that you can find out there.
Yeah, and it says here in our one-page book, shit happens when you try to do nothing. And it sort of reminds me whenever we do floating in the floating tank where we are weightless in the salt water, and you just lie, there's no stimulus, and you close your eyes and shit happens.
Yeah, and then physically shit happens too. You get a bad back and all kinds of stuff happens. Yeah. But the same thing happens to your mind. It sort of drifts off and, you know, all kinds of thoughts come in.
That's my next question. So who creates this shit, and why are they creating this shit?
Yeah, and that's funny, because most people will point to others and blame others for the thoughts and emotions that they have. And we basically believe that anything that that you create, or any thoughts that you have, or any emotion that you have, is created by you, and there is nobody else creating that. There might be stimulus. People can hit you in the face, and that triggers you to create some kind of emotion, maybe anger. But it's still your choice. You still respond to that, and in your response, you have a choice. You have a choice to start crying. You can be angry. You can hit back. There are several things you can do if somebody hits you in the face. You can also not create any emotion and just stand there, obviously, or you can run. But the choice is yours. You still have a choice. Most people don't think of that as a conscious choice. They just unconsciously react. But given enough training, you can move that from unconscious to conscious and start having real choices in your life and not just react to all kinds of shit happening.
We've also written about the gains that people can get. And if I had money and I was going to put it in a bank, I would like to see that I get more money in the interest rates, depending on the bank that I put it in. But if I do mental training, or if somebody gets inspired listening to this podcast or reading a one-page book, that yeah, I'm going to get something out of it. So what's the interest they can get out of doing this this being here and now?
I've seen all kinds of people getting huge gains from this. And one prime example is, of course, the lady that has written a little quote on the back of this book. Her name is Tiril Ekhoff, and she is a world championship gold medal winner from Holmenkollen in biathlon then, which is skiing and shooting. It's a very strange thing. So if you're in Africa listening to this podcast, you might wonder what biathlon is, but Wikipedia is your friend, and you will find a very, very strange sport. And then people race on track with their skis, and then they shoot now and then, and the first one over the goal line wins. And this lady, she is one of the very, very best in the world in the sports. And she says she has one of the medals, the gold medals, which she attributed directly to this training. And this was in Holmenkollen almost 2 years ago. And yeah, it's... it's one of the examples. But we have trained artists on this who go on stage and they're shit nervous. And then when they do this drill, they are not nervous, and then they perform better. So
we've done it with weightlifters. We've done it with skiers. We've done it with football players.
Yeah. And I mean, other sports as well. What do you call that? Orientation? Is that still called orientation?
Ski orienteering.
ski orienteering, which is an even more strange sport. It's like you try to find places where people have already walked because you can see the ski tracks. So it's not as,
I don't know. It does exist.
It does exist, yeah. It's like underwater rugby. It's one of those strange sports.
Yeah, so how would an athlete in underwater rugby gain from being, by training, being here and now?
Well, what you would get, I suppose, is less panicky when you start losing your breath. Because I've been training with a guy who was training as a free diver, or him and his friend. His friend is an excellent free diver, and Richard has been doing some free diving. And an example of what can be gained there is that if you really are here and now, you don't get so stressed up about not breathing. I mean, most people can hold their breath much longer than they think. And if you start panicking, then you start using all the oxygen and you will be able to hold your breath shorter.
Yeah, because panic is not now.
Panic is not now. Panic is an unconscious reaction. It's not you deciding to what to emote or what to think.
Panic's the future
panic is,
expression.
Is, yeah, panic is about worry about consequences. And that is the future.
Yeah,
that's true.
And in the past, we have
sorrow,
grief, sorrow, regret, grief.
Yeah.
When you mentioned this, these top athletes, because a lot of the top athletes, they do this training and they train with us, and they do this being here and now training. One thing I just popped into my head that we've never had trainers of the athletes training this as well, because we see these trainers on the side of the pitch, we see the trainers out on the ski tracks, and the trainers themselves could also gain from training this mental training.
Definitely, because if they are not here and now, they are not actually training, they are not actually supporting their athletes. So, and I do see that a lot, the trainers fading out of their task of exercising, of training the athletes. So sure, yeah.
What trainers come to mind? I mean, like, there's world famous trainers, or ones that have been here and now, ones that haven't been. Any that come to mind?
I haven't met that many trainers.
We've seen them on TV.
We've seen them on TV, of course. I would say Conte. Yeah. He's pretty much here now.
He definitely seems here and now. Conte is the football trainer for
Chelsea. Yeah. He's very much here now. And I would say also Jurgen Klopp is a person that is pretty much here now. But then you have maybe, I don't know, Bosque. He doesn't seem that much here now on the pitch.
Yeah.
He's perhaps a very good trainer otherwise, but
that could actually be, many people mean, could be a downfall to Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, that he never thinks about shutting down the game because he's not afraid of what's going to happen, that he's in so much the moment of being here now that he's, let's just score more goals. Let's just keep playing the way we're playing. Let's not think of the consequences that might happen towards the end of the game. So
that is a good point. Because when you read this one-page book, Mental Training the Core, you might get into the idea that you should only just be here and now. But this is the first step. If you're able to be here and now, then you can build something upon that, like visualizing, like planning. Like, if you're really able to experience the sorrow of your mother's death, then you're also able to, you know, really give that thought and emotion the weight that it deserves, and then finally get over it and not let that define your life. So it's not just about being here and now and that's all you do. You have to produce something, you have to do something in life. And that as a basic building block, then you can put something on top of that, which is more valuable and more, you can gain more skills with that basic building block.
Yeah, but many people probably jump over that basic block.
Yeah.
Which is the point of behind the book, sort of.
They just start with lifting weights and think that's what it's going to take. But that's just skipping the basic building block, which you shouldn't do.
Yeah, if you're going to add to this one-page book and still keep it to one page, which means we have about 2.5 lines of space, 3.5 lines, anything else you would add?
But that goes with all the one-page books, I guess. We try to strip away methodology as much as we can and just go straight for the basic. Because people try to sell all kinds of books with heavy methodology and drawings and models, and you know, they do courses in this, and there's hundreds and hundreds of pages to sort of hash out the models. But the problem with models is that they become restrictive. An example of that is the best chess playing engine in the world up until recently was Stockfish 8. Stockfish is an open source chess game engine, and all the most excellent chess players have been pitching in and with their models and with their methodology on how to play chess, and has trained this Stockfish chess engine to be as good as it is. And then comes Google's artificial intelligence engine, AlphaZero, trains on chess for 4 hours. Is only given the rules of the game. No methodology, no opening moves, no end game scenarios, nothing. No scenarios at all, just the rules of the game. It plays against itself for, I don't know, millions and millions of times for 4 hours. Then it goes against Stockfish 8, plays 100 game matches, 100 matches, and wins 28-0. It wins 25 times as white, 3 times as black, and the rest are drawn. Meaning Stockfish never won one single game after AlphaZero training itself for 4 hours, which is a definite game changer for chess forever. Now, what Stockfish had was a lot of methodology. What AlphaZero had was no methodology, no preconceived ideas, no nothing, just starting from scratch. And this is what we tried to do with the one-page books. We tried to strip down all the methodology and become as basic as possible, not hampered by preconceived ideas, preconceptions.
Yeah. So this this is basically our first podcast taking this one-page book. I thought that was okay.
Yes, pretty interesting. I used to be on the radio, and this is sort of get me a little bit flashback, not being here now and then. But it feels good to do a podcast then.
So this should fit nicely to anybody that's read the book as well.
Yes, I guess so. And if you want us to do other types of podcasts, or do podcasts on the other books, or any other theme, basically, you can get in contact with us and request. We can do podcasts on anything from astrophysics to sex.
Or anybody that wants to get us to do mental training. We come and we tell them and we show them how to do nothing.
Yeah, which is quite interesting, because people are very, very sort of rejecting the idea of doing nothing. It's very hard for people to
Seinfeld had it pretty summed up. That was just nothing's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's right. Okay.